Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Big one tonight between the United States and Canada in the Four Nations Final. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Adam Kemmelman to the program from NHL.com. Adam, good morning. How are we doing?
We're good, guys. Just excited for tonight's game. We've had 2 days of hype to kind of get us into the moment. Now we're here. It's going to be an awesome game. I'm as excited for this as you get as I am for, you know, Stanley Cup final and stuff like that. It's going to be, you know, we all saw the sort of the appetizer Saturday, you know, in the first game, and now we got the gold medal rematch that we've all kind of hoped for. So should be a good one tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And Adam, I guess we'll start there. Like, look, I'm a huge hockey fan, obviously. I love best-on-best hockey. I was very curious heading into this thing, like what we were going to see and what it was going to be like. And it has blown my expectation out of the water. Like, how do you describe the way this tournament has played out and what this has meant for the game, the league, kind of everything involved?
I think there were a few guys, Matthew Tkachuk being one of them, who never got to experience best on best, because we haven't done it since World Cup of Hockey in 2016. So it's 9 years of waiting for this, of you know, not having an Olympics, of not having, you know, a World Cup, that this is the first time they're getting to do this at the NHL level. And they've been waiting, salivating for this moment, and they were not going to let the opportunity pass them by. And you can see that in the passion that they're playing with. You know, this is something, anyone who thought this would be sort of an all-star game where guys would just kind of skate through it and, you know, wave to the crowd and have a little bit of fun, that was dispelled right from the opening puck drop of the very first game, Canada against Sweden. You saw that intensity, you saw that passion right from the get-go, and it is carried through every game, every step of the way, and I think you're going to see the culmination of all of that tonight.
Yeah, and we've talked some this week, like about the 2010 gold medal game, for example, which I think was a moment for hockey. Do you think this is that, and what do you think this could do for hockey?
Well, I think, again, it's, you know, as I said, it's 9 years since we've had best on best. That 2010, you know, USA-Canada gold medal game, with everybody remembers with Sidney Crosby's goal in overtime, you know, that was a huge moment that, you know, everybody kind of goes back to when they talk about international hockey, best-on-best hockey, the greatest moments on ice. I think there's the potential for that, again, to happen tonight. I mean, look, what happened on Saturday with the three fights in 9 seconds and the physical play and the passion of that game, it's really going to be hard to match that. But I think you're going to see a level of hockey that you are not used to seeing, that it's going to be right up there with Stanley Cup final. But I think the difference between what you have the potential of seeing tonight versus the Stanley Cup final, there's one line on each team in the final that's capable of playing at elite level hockey over 60 minutes. You've got four lines and three defense pairs that are capable of playing that way tonight. So I think that passion, that intensity, that desire to win is going to be ratcheted up to a level that, you know, we haven't seen in a very, very long time.
So, Adam, to that point, you know, the U.S. in the first game was really in control. Like, they were able to really limit, you know, McKinnon and McDavid and how effective they were in the game, and they played the way they needed to play to really limit Canada. Do you think they can do that again? Like, what do you make of kind of the style that the U.S. has to play if they're going to win tonight?
It's going to have to be very similar. It's just going to be a little bit harder without having Charlie McAvoy as that defensive anchor. You know, you're going to see Jacob Slavin and Brock Faber probably draw a lot of those most difficult assignments out there, you know, every time McDavid's on the ice, maybe out there every time McKinnon and Crosby are out there. You know, that chess game is going to be really interesting to see, you know, how Mike Sullivan deploys his best defensive guys versus how John Cooper wants to use his top-end offensive guys. You know, I think the dream sort of is to see McKinnon, McDavid, Crosby all together on one line. I think you'll probably see that on the power play only. I don't know if you'll necessarily see that five-on-five as they kind of try to spread the offense out and keep those elite U.S. defensive guys kind of away from, you know, the top-end Canada guys. So I think that chess match is going to be really interesting to watch. I'm not sure which the home team is. I believe it's the United States. So they'll have the last change. They'll have the last, you know, opportunity to see who's out there and adjust accordingly. So that little cat and mouse game, I think, is going to be really fun to watch. But, yeah, to your point, keeping the Canadian guys, I mean, goodness, we've all seen what Nathan McKinnon or Connor McDavid can do with even a little bit of time and space to get their legs going. Keeping that as limited as possible is really one of the best chances the U.S. has of winning that game, because if those guys are able to find open ice on any sort of consistent basis, as good as Connor Hellebuyck has been in goal, it's going to be really difficult for them to keep up in a game like that.
Yeah, I was just going to go there. I mean, how much of an edge is it just Hellebuyck versus Binnington at this point?
It's significant. I said, you know, going into the tournament, the biggest difference was the biggest advantage for the U.S. was in goal. You know, having arguably the best goaltender in the league versus in Connor Hellebuyck gave them an edge, I thought, in all phases when it came to this tournament. It was the real difference maker for me. And I think I haven't seen anything that changes that opinion where, you know, he is the difference between them and everybody else. And Binnington has had moments where he has not looked good, where there has been goals that have gotten past him that maybe in hindsight he'd like back. You saw it in the U.S. game. You certainly saw it late in the Finland game when they were defending that two-goal lead and Finland scored two with the 6-on-5 extra attacker. You know, there's moments in that game where there are going to be moments in the game where he's going to need to make a big save, and I don't know if he's more capable of doing that than Connor Hellebuyck. I think that's the biggest U.S. advantage. But in saying that, Jordan Binnington has played a winner go home game 7 like experience in Boston. He won a Stanley Cup there in 2019. So the moment is not lost on him, I'm sure. 2019 was a long time ago. So, you know, it gives the U.S. an advantage, but I don't know if it's as distinct an advantage as it maybe could be, just because Binnington has been in that environment, in that building. So, you know, it's something to watch for sure.
Adam, last thing for you here, just switching gears to the Predators real quick. You know, we know this season is not gone and will not go the way that they planned heading into it. And there is a chance that they could end up pretty high in this year's draft with a top 3 pick, potentially maybe a top 5 pick. So how do you view the top part of this draft? And are there a couple of guys maybe that have separated themselves in your opinion as far as this year's draft is concerned?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we at NHL.com are going to have our first mock draft coming out on Friday. So I can give you a little bit of a preview of that. To me, there's 4 guys that have separated themselves from the rest of the group in this year's draft class. You've got the franchise defenseman in Matthew Schaefer, who, you know, you talk to scouts. I've heard Cale Makar and I've heard Scott Niedermeyer reference that. That's sort of, you know, the if you're looking for a future for him, that's sort of the future player he is. Just, he's 6'2" and 187 pounds, skates like you dream about, and he is sturdy enough and strong enough to play in the defensive zone. I remember we watched him at the prospects game back in November, blocked a shot, lost his stick, blocked a shot, lost his glove, still blocked another shot. So he is a determined defensive player and an outstanding offensive guy. You've got 2 franchise centers, one being Michael Mesa, who plays in Saginaw in the Ontario League, the other James Hagans, who plays at Boston College. Both guys, a little bit different types of players. Mesa's more a cerebral kind of John Tavares type, where Hagans has more dynamic skill. If you watch the World Juniors, you're able to watch him. He was the top-line center for the United States. He's more of a Jack Hughes explosive kind of skill. And then there's Porter Martone, who's a jumbo size, 6'4", 200-pound winger, who kind of projects to be a Matthew Tkachuk, Corey Perry type, just an agitator, but with a ton of skill. He's also the rare 17-year-old captain of his junior team in Brampton in the Ontario League. So to me, those are the four guys that have kind of separated themselves from the field. I think if I'm the Predators and I see one of those top-end centers just sitting there for them, knowing that's a huge need for them, I think Hagans or Misa would be the guys I would target if I'm them and I'm sitting, you know, where they're most likely going to be near the top of the draft order. I think one of those four guys certainly should be available for them.
Well, should be very interesting. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the game tonight. Should be awesome. Can't wait to see it tonight between the U.S. and Canada. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com, our guest on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on what Adam had to say, plus some cap news in the National Football League. We'll get into that as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.